Welcome to Process Breakdown, where we get proven and successful entrepreneurs to reveal step by step what's currently working behind the scenes in their businesses. Sit back, relax, and take notes as you discover how today's guest has been able to systematize their entire business so that it runs successfully without their constant involvement, like a well-oiled machine on overdrive. And here is your host.
Hi, my name is Owen Megabinawo, and welcome to episode 74 of the Process Breakdown podcast. Do you want to grow your company? In this interview, my guest reveals how he grew his business from a small company in Tampa, Florida, to a multinational company with offices around the world by systematizing and automating his entire business. You will discover how he improved communication with his clients, how he trained his employees, and was able to delegate tasks to them successfully. Before we get into the interview, I want to invite you to this week's Sweet Process Live webinar training event. It is called The 4 Most Important Steps to Systematize Your Rapidly Growing Company So It Runs Without You Successfully and How to Stop Being the Bottleneck. I will be hosting it live on Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and it's a great opportunity for you to get all your questions answered by me. To join the webinar, go to sweetprocess.com/webinar. I repeat, to join the webinar, go to sweetprocess.com/webinar, and webinar is spelled as webinar. Once again, it is the 4 most important steps to systematize your rapidly growing company so it runs without you successfully and how to stop being the bottleneck. It happens live this Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, and I'm excited to see you there. Now, let's get started with the interview. My guest today is Sean Hopwood, and he's the president at Day Translations. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So this show is all about getting entrepreneurs on here who have been able to systematize their business so that it runs successful without them. And you get to talk about how you were able to do it. But before we talk about the details of, you know, the steps you took to systematize your business, I want to share with the listeners, you know, what are some mind-blowing results that you now experience as a result of going through that process of systematizing and automating your business?
Well, some of the most mind-blowing results that I've experienced myself are just the growth. And being able to systematize your business and automate your processes has allowed our company to grow exponentially. We've gone from a small company in Tampa, Florida, with a few clients just in the area, to a multinational company. Now we have over 6 offices in the United States, and we have an office in London, England, and Dubai. Wow. So, systematizing our processes has allowed us to exponentially grow to this size.
Awesome. And how you say your company has been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
Well, our company has been transformed in so many different ways. We have been able to grow from just serving our clients locally here in Tampa and Florida to growing our employee database. And in growing our employee database and our clientele has allowed us to grow exponentially. For example, we're an interpreting and translation company. So we have to have translators or interpreters in any city in the world. And this is something that wouldn't be very easy if we didn't have any automation in process, because there's thousands of cities and thousands of interpreters and thousands of languages that we have to translate. So in order to do this, we had to systematize the way in which the interpreters applied to our company, because we had to be able to provide an interpreter not only in, let's say, Los Angeles, United States, but in St. Petersburg, Russia, or Paris, France, or Dubai. So we had to systematize the way that interpreters could apply to our company in order to grow to the size that we are today.
Wow. And how would you say your personal life has been transformed as a result of systematizing your business?
My personal life has been transformed greatly. In the first couple of years that we had the company, I was constantly automating. I was constantly trying to automate things, but there was so much to do. And I was working 12, 14, sometimes 16-hour days. Sometimes I would work 2 or 3 days in a row without sleeping because there was so much to do. But as a lot of people probably say, once you systematize your business and you automate your processes, you can focus on more personal aspects. My health has increased. I've had the opportunity to dedicate time to my habits, like dancing. I'm really into dancing, and I have a lot of free time to play soccer, which is good for my health and good for me to spend time with my friends. And I've also been able to dedicate more time to spending time with my friends and family.
That's awesome. And so now, since the business itself runs without you successfully, what would you say has been the longest time you've been away from it?
Well, I could be gone for a very long time. Right now, the longest that I've ever been away from my business was about 5 weeks. This was last year. I went to New York City to go to one of the biggest salsa dance studios in New York. And I spent 5 weeks going twice a day for intensive dance training there. And so I was able, by systematizing my processes, I was able to go and foster one of my biggest hobbies that I have. I was able to focus on dancing, something that I really needed to get away from business, from the day-to-day aspects of my business. So I actually went 5 weeks without even touching my business, without checking my emails, and purely just focusing on one of my hobbies.
That's awesome. And so just so the listener can get some context as to what your business is all about, so that as they learn from you today, they can relate it to what your business is about, what exactly does your company do, and what big pain do you solve for your customers?
Well, our company can be involved in so many different aspects because we're a translation and interpreting company. We're a multifaceted language service company. We provide legal and certified translations to immigrants, to hospitals, and law firms. And okay. we also do translations for movies. We do a lot of the subtitles that you see when you watch a movie. We do those subtitles. And nowadays, with movies opening all across the world in several different markets, they need their subtitles to be translated perfectly and in several different languages. So that's one of the things one of the big things that we do. And we also really focus a lot on legal translations. So there's an immigrant, let's say from Ecuador, mm-hmm. and this person wants to become a citizen of the United States. We help them through the entire process. The immigrant, first, they need their marriage license translated, or they need their birth certificate translated. Then we certify those documents, and then we legalize those documents to be used in the United States. And then after we do all that, the immigrant often has to go to an immigration interview. So we provide them an interpreter for the immigration interview. So we do a lot of process. We do a lot of the process by helping people become citizens of the United States.
That's awesome. So how many full-time employees do you have?
Right now, we have 26 full-time employees.
And I think during the pre-interview, you mentioned about the amount of translators and also contractors you have.
We have about 200 full-time translators and about 200 or 300 full-time interpreters. Then aside from that, we have about 5,000 contracted translators and interpreters. And these are translators and interpreters that we can call upon them when we need them. Because okay. We don't need them every single day. And this is also something that actually helps us save a lot of money because we don't have to, as a contractor, we don't use them on a daily basis. For example, there's some very rare languages that we don't need every day. And so those are those 5,000 contractors.
Awesome. So is your company profitable? And what was last year's annual revenue for the business and probably what do you expect to do this year?
Yes, our company is profitable. We've been in business for 8 years. We've been averaging about $2 to $3 million a year. Last year, it was a little bit under $2 million, but our company I've experienced a lot of growing pains. I've learned a lot of lessons from marketing. So our company has, you know, it's been around the $2 to $3 million range every year. And for this year, though, we've had days that we average about $20,000 to $30,000 a day.
Wow.
So we've been growing exponentially, and this is really in part to the fact that we have systematized our processes to where we can grow exponentially, so we can handle all these new clients. So I'm expecting $5 to $7 million this year.
Awesome, awesome. And so we've shared, you know, kind of where the business is right now. Let's go back to when the business was not systematized and automated like it is now. What was wrong with it then?
Well, I've had every possible issue you could think of. I started the company from scratch myself. So I've had to deal with human resource issues, client issues, issues with our websites, and everything. So when it wasn't automated, we had all kind of human resource issues. We didn't automate our translation process, so we had errors in translation. I had to hire new people, and I would actually retrain them from all the information that was in my head every time. Every time I hired someone. And so I realized if our company is going to grow, I'm going to have to document all these training manuals, and I'm going to have to document all our processes, because it's going to be extremely exasperating trying to repeat myself over and over again. And even if I hired a human resource manager, they would be exhausted trying to repeat themselves over and over again. So I realized quickly that we had to document our processes, and we focus a lot on the employee side. We had to our company is really customer service driven, so we had to really make sure that our employees were well trained.
Yeah, and back then, you know, when you said you started doing some training, when you realized that they were having all these issues with trying to train the employee, you had to start documenting procedures, kind of like training manuals and stuff like that. Talk about, you know, how long it was taking you then when you were training the employees. You said something about 4 months or so?
Yes, well, each employee, they would go through a training, and the training would be a month long. And so that would take time for me. I wasn't able to focus on the growth of the company.
Yeah.
For a whole month, I would spend training the employee, and then our employees are retrained every 4 months. It's kind of like an update. The clients are updated on all the new information. And so then they had to be updated on the information every 4 months. This was extremely exhausting for us to do. So if you want, I can talk a little bit about what we did to improve these processes.
I guess we'll talk about that shortly. But okay. Back then, when the business was not systematized, what would you say was the lowest point, and describe how bad it got?
Well, the lowest point was we had just started our company. And a lot of business owners will be able to relate to this. We had just started our company and just started to make money and just started to get clients and have income. But we got this really big client. It was for us, it was a big client for us at the time. We had made $36,000. It was a $36,000 translation that we were going to do for this large client.
Yeah.
Our systems were not automated. So we translated the document. We didn't have a good proofreading process in place. So our translations, in a nutshell, basically turned out bad for the client.
Wow.
And so the client was extremely upset, and their client was, and they were embarrassed because their client was unhappy with the translation. So the client refused to pay us.
Wow.
So we lost basically $36,000. And I had to pay payroll for my employees and the translators and all the people who had worked on this project it took us several weeks to get this project done, and it was all for naught because we made no money. And the worst problem of it all was I didn't have the $20,000 to pay our payroll.
It's 36 actually, right?
Excuse me?
$36,000.
It was $36,000, and it was $20,000 that were my expenses.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to take a loan from the bank just to pay my employees.
Wow.
So I basically started the company in $20,000 in debt. But I learned a huge lesson from this. I learned we had to improve our processes. We're going to start getting a lot more clients. And I had faith in the company. So I did take the loan out to pay our employees. And I had faith that we're going to continue to grow. So I sat down and I wrote a lot of manuals. I tried to improve our processes, because I didn't want this to happen again.
So was that very point, was that the breaking point when you realized that you needed to systematize the business? Is that the point where you said, you know, you had to make the changes?
Yes. And also my girlfriend at the time, and we had done some research, and we realized that was the breaking point The negative thing was we lost so much money. But the positive aspect of this was I realized how big the industry was.
I think during the print interview, you mentioned you did some research or so, right?
Yes. We did some research in the industry, and I looked at some of the competitors, and I saw some people making $400 million a year, $300 million a year. And so I realized, okay, I picked a good industry to be in. I just have to make sure that all of our processes are clean and in place, and they're well organized. And so the point when I realized that I had to automate my processes was the losing all that money, at the same time realizing how big the industry was and how much potential there was if I would only automate our processes.
So what was the first, back then, what was the very first step you took to systematize the business?
Well, the very first step I took was to write manuals. This was the most tedious process, but for me, it didn't seem tedious because I was so passionate about what we're doing. Like, I'm a linguist. I speak a few languages myself, and I'm extremely passionate about languages, and I was really passionate about what we do. So I would sit down literally working until 5 a.m. for several weeks just writing these manuals. I wrote a manual for marketing. I wrote a manual for the sales department. I wrote a manual for human resources, and I wrote several other manuals.
Each one. How were you writing them? I think during the pre-interview you mentioned something about PowerPoint presentations.
Yes, there were a combination of PowerPoint, Excel, and Word files. Okay. So the Word file would be a manual that you would read. It was about 150 pages long. Mm-hmm. And then the PowerPoint presentation usually were about 100 to 120 slides. They had graphs and charts. And we even had training videos that we put in place for this. And so, yeah, I wrote over 2,000 pages of manuals just to systematize our business. And it took several months to do. And we're still improving upon our manuals today.
Wow. And I think you also mentioned something about quizzes. And how did quizzes come into play for when it comes to documenting? I guess you were writing the manuals, and then were you quizzing your employees on what they studied on the manuals? I don't understand.
Yes. Well, this is something that has saved us so much time. The human aspect of running a company can be really complicated. And if you can take the human element out of it as much as possible and automate things, you can really become successful. And so what we did, the hiring process...
The quizzes was the second thing then, besides the writing and the manual was the first, but the quizzes was the second thing, right?
Yeah, the quizzes were the second thing that we realized we had to do. We wanted to make sure that the employees we got at our company were solid employees and very intelligent employees. And so we have a 5-step process that they have to go through. But the interesting thing about this process is it's entirely automated. The applicant basically applies to the company, mm-hmm. and we read through their application and make sure that everything is in order. If it's not in order, their application is automatically rejected by our system. And if it is in order, we send them a 5-step process. The first step is they take an intelligence quiz. The second step is they take a quiz to learn to see how they would handle different situations in our company. The third step is they take an essay, and then the fourth step is they get an interview with the human resource manager, and then the fifth step is we hire them. These first three steps are done automatically, and the quizzes are automatically graded. And if they don't pass the quizzes, they're automatically rejected in our system. So this has gone from taking us two employees to do and working on this on a daily basis to actually requiring only one employee, and that employee only basically has to check the end result and interview the client. So it saved us a lot of money and a lot of time doing these quizzes.
Another thing you said you did is that you created your company intranet. Talk about that.
Okay, well, the company intranet is something extremely important because we have our manuals and we have all our processes documented, but our company is constantly growing. So when you're creating a manual, it can't be a stagnant manual. It has to be a living document that changes. And we created a company intranet to where all of our manuals are updated online. And so because basically our company is not going to be the same company 5 years from now as it is today.
Yeah.
So we actually plan for this growth. We foster this growth. So we've created a system, an intranet, where the employees, the human resource manager and the operations manager, can add new information and stuff that's changed. And every time we retrain our employees, all the information is automatically updated on our company intranet. It's like a wiki. You can add information and update information on our company intranet, and it actually updates us on news going on in the company and changes that are going on in the company. Any change that happens is automatically updated on that intranet.
Yeah. And what other steps did you take back then to systematize the company that comes to mind?
Well, the one of the most important things that we did to systematize the business are the quizzes and the online application forms. And we also automated our payment system. And
the invoicing of clients, right? That's what you're talking about now. Okay.
Yes. The invoicing of clients. We created a system where the employees don't have to enter any of the information. The client enters all the information themselves. They pay for the translation online. They can check their invoices online, and their translations are delivered online, and they can actually check on and get updates of their translation online. All they do is they go into our they log into their customer database, and they click on to request an update on their translation, and it automatically tells them your translation is 75% done or your translation is 80% done. And this has saved us a lot of time on the client side.
Why?
Because the clients used to call all the time, and they would ask us, how is our translation doing? When is it going to be done? I'm trying to do as much as I could to reduce the amount of calls that we're getting into our company so that our customer service representatives can focus on the human aspect as much as possible and not have to answer repetitive questions. So we created a system where the clients can log in and check all the information that they need right there from the system. And so this is another way where we've taken the human element out of things and used processes and technology to automate these processes basically, when you have your systems documented and you have processes in place, you can take the human element out of it, and that reduces error.
Yeah. So back then, when you were making these changes, how did you even prioritize what order of steps to take? You know, how did you decide which systems to create first and which ones next? Was there a reasoning behind what you did, like how you did make the decisions?
Well, a lot of people say when they're starting their business, they don't know where they're going to start. It's extremely overwhelming. You don't know if I should focus on finance or if I should write a business plan or what to do. But in my opinion, you just have to dive in and start. And when you start your business, the business demands certain things for you to do first. And so when we started our business, of course, the first thing it demanded was setting up a website so that our clients could contact us. And then after we set up the website, we started getting clients calling and asking certain things like, do you do French translations or do you do Arabic translations? And so then the business demanded for me to recruit more French and Arabic translators.
Yeah.
Or they would ask, do you have insurance? And I'm like, oh, no, we don't have insurance. And so then I realized, okay, then we have to buy company, liability insurance. And so you can't just do everything at once. But if you just dive in there, the company will demand certain things of you.
So basically you're saying that when you're doing the systemization of the business, just let the demand drive the systems you create. Basically.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Let the demand drive the systems that you create, and then you'll just put it together and piece it together one by one.
Yeah. And back then, how did you, you've mentioned in a part of this already, but how did you document procedures and processes for the business back then? And what tools did you use? Earlier you mentioned you use PowerPoint. I think at one time you also now use Word and Google Docs, right?
Yes. I'm a strong believer in technology. Our company is really human oriented, but we have a strong base of technology in the background. I like to consider ourselves a strong technology company. We have actually eight people working in our developing department, our app development department, managing our databases and stuff like that. The systems that we started using, we used PowerPoint and Word documents in the beginning, and of course Microsoft Outlook to manage all of our emails, and we use Google Docs to put a lot of our systems online. Documents that can be updated by different employees at any time. And then after our company started growing, we started to use CRM, and we created our own internal CRM where we could track our clients, track their the information, their payment information, and the last translation they did with us, or where they're located, all that information.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things that we did was we started implementing a CRM, and our CRM continues to grow. And for our internal development projects, we use Trello, which is a system for everyone to that everyone can update. A lot of these things are SaaS applications that can be bought from different companies. But we use these things to technology and a lot of information that's in the cloud, so that we don't have to continue to write things and save them on our computers. They can be updated online.
Yeah.
That's something that I strongly believe in.
So at that time when you were working on systematizing and automating business, what books or even mentors had the most influence on you and why?
Well, there are a lot of books. There are a few mentors. One of the main books that I read was Good to Great, and by Jim Collins, and The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And another book that I read was Outsource Smart by Davin Michaels. And that was really important to our company, because we're a translation company. And in order to be a translation company, you have to have people working in several different countries, because there's several different languages. For example, we do a Zulu translation in South Africa.
Wow.
You know, we're going to have these people who speak Zulu, most of them only living in South Africa. And so we recruit people from all around the world. And we have to understand how to outsource, how to deal with these cultural differences.
Cultural differences, yeah.
Yeah, and and most importantly, how to pay them. You know, how do they receive payments? You know, can they receive PayPal payments in South Africa, or do they have to receive money a different way? And there's some countries that in the Middle East that have different cultures, and we have to understand that. And I speak Arabic myself, and I speak a few languages, and I believe that my understanding and willingness to diversify our company has really helped us with a translation company, because personally, I love cultures. I love diversity.
Back then, also, this guy who has a YouTube channel, Eli, the computer guy, what exactly were you learning from him? Was it about systemization?
Well, he talks a lot about systematization, and he talks a lot about technology. And I'm a big lover of technology. I took some computer programming classes when I was really young, but I didn't get into it as much as I wish I had. This guy, he teaches about computer programming technologies, databases. He talks about different languages like PHP, HTML5, CSS. And he also talks about data centers. He talks about anything a company needs to do to grow and using technology to help that company grow.
Okay.
So he's an expert on all things you need to do in order to systematize
from a technology standpoint. Okay.
From a technology standpoint, exactly.
So what was back then, what was the biggest challenge that you experienced when you initially tried to systematize the business, and how did you solve it?
Well, the biggest challenge I realized is that doing it one time is not enough. You can't systematize your business and then just walk away and say everything is fine. I like to call it automating the process of automation, basically.
Why is doing it one time not enough, the document itself?
Because like I said before, your company is not going to be the same company in 5 years that it is today. So you have to plan.
I think during the pre-interview, you used a word that I like. It says it's a living document.
Yes, yes. The document has to be a living document. So it has to be continuing to grow with your company. And so, like I say, our document is editable and it's online. All of our documents are editable online. So the manager can go in and let's say there's a new policy that they want to put in place, policy 14.2. Well, they go in and they enter the change to policy 14.2, and then add another policy, a new policy, 14.3 and 14.4. And so these documents are automatically updated online. So number one, every time our employees do a retraining, they see the most recent documents. And number two, when we have a new employee, they're getting the most recent documents. So
how was that a challenge though?
Well, it was a challenge because a lot of people say when they start a business, they just want to create it and just leave it alone. And you're just after a couple of years, you can just let your business run on its own. But you have to.
Oh, so I guess what I get it now. So you had to make that conscious effort to know that, you know, every time you had to go back to reflect on the document and improve it. If you had an issue or something, you had to make that conscious effort to always be looking at ways to improve it. Otherwise, yeah. It's just going to be there and you're not doing anything to it.
Yeah, and your company's not going to grow. If you want your company to grow while you actually have time, personal time for yourself, and you don't have to constantly be involved in the business, you have to set up your business in a way where it grows on its own. And you also have to hire employees that are leadership-oriented employees who can help the company grow.
What was you say it was the second biggest challenge that you experienced at the time where you were trying to systematize the business?
Well, I think one of the second biggest challenge would be the human element. With humans, there's so many different possibilities, so many things that could happen. You have to make them feel important. You have to make them feel like and understand that they are contributing to the growth of your company. But there's so many human aspects that can come up. Like, for example, a client, an employee could be sick, or an employee could have a family emergency, or they need their vacation time, or there's some animosity in the company. So you can systematize things as much as possible, but if your company has a human element in it and you want to provide customer service, you're going to have to understand how to manage the human element. And so we had to basically make sure that everyone at the company felt important, and we had a system in place where the employees could be promoted and they could be given raises and they could be getting recognition for the work that they do. So I didn't want a company that with employees just doing the bare minimum, and I wanted a company where the employees felt a sense of belonging and a sense that they're contributing to a greater good. And I think that we've accomplished that at our company. We're helping people become citizens of the United States. We're helping people with legal problems. We're doing so much, and I believe that our employees understand our role in helping improve people's lives and increasing communication across the world.
Yeah. And do you have any other challenges that came to mind that you experienced when you were trying to systematize the business? I think you mentioned something about the marketing department. What was the challenge with the marketing department?
The marketing department, it was a big challenge because nowadays marketing has totally changed from where it was 10 years ago. There's a lot of search engine optimization and social media management that didn't exist 10 years ago. And that has been a big challenge for us because we've actually over-optimized our marketing in the beginning to where Google actually lowered the ranking of our website because of the over-optimization
of our search engines.
And so we actually experienced a dip in growth, and our revenues decreased because of our marketing department wasn't good. I didn't have systems in place for them to follow instructions. So basically we didn't do things correctly in the marketing department. We over-optimized our website, and we were penalized by Google and the search engines for doing this. So after I started to improve our marketing department and improve the way we did business and mix traditional marketing with social media and search engine optimization, that's when our business started to grow again.
That's awesome. I think you also mentioned there was a challenge of finding managers because, you know, it's one thing to find someone who wants to do the work and then another thing to get somebody who wants to, you know, take on a more larger, like, responsibility role.
Yes. It was a challenge. I spent 2.5 years trying to find a marketing manager.
Wow.
I realized what you have to do, and what I did in order to get this was probably very obvious, but what I did was I created a job description for exactly what I wanted. And it was about 3 or 4 pages long. And I had to understand exactly what I needed in the job position for marketing manager. And then I put the application online and I let the people apply. And then we started to evaluate all the people for that position. And we put them through testing and essays and interviews. And then we hired the people. And we finally found, and we have a really strong marketing team now. And we found really good people who are able to market our company without any risk of over-optimizing our website or anything like that. So I have a manager in each position, and it's been a big challenge for me in the beginning to actually learn to delegate. And a lot of managers find that they want to micromanage the employees, and they want to have their fingers in every aspect of the company. Mm-hmm. But I realized if I want our company to grow, I can't do that. I have to hire managerial-oriented people who can actually make the company grow on their own, and people who are creative, who could come up with their own ideas and who could take initiative without being told what to do. And so that's one thing that I did.
Awesome. And so given all the challenges you mentioned earlier, why did you even stay committed to the goal of systematizing your business?
Because I love what I do. I'm extremely passionate about languages. I'm passionate about translation and interpreting, and I'm passionate about entrepreneurship. The satisfaction that I get whenever we pay one of our employees, or one of my employees tells me, I just bought a house. And that makes me feel so satisfied, because I know that the opportunity that we gave them at our company to work here contributed them to them being able to buy that house. So being able to create jobs, being able to provide work for people and help people communicate, provide translation services to people, this is what kept me going. I'm just extremely passionate about what we do.
That's awesome.
And the ability to not only when you have your own company, you have the ability to do so much more in the world. It's like you have extra tentacles, extra arms, to where you can do more things. For example, you can set up charities. You can set up foundations. Right now, we're setting up a scholarship for people who are learning languages or studying international business. So there's so much more you can do to make a bigger impact on the world when you have your own business. And so that's one thing that I like. For example, Bill Gates, he started his own business and he actually left it. And he's still the richest man in the world, but he left his business and now he started his own foundation, something that he was really passionate about, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And now he's helping vaccinate kids throughout Africa and poorer countries. So the fact that you can do more when you own your own business is something that really kept me going.
Awesome. So at what point in the story now, or at what point in time, were you able to systematize your entire business so that it could run without you successfully?
Well, we started different processes. We systematized the marketing and we systematized the sales. But the last thing that I systematized was the payroll. And this was about a little bit over a year ago. I was able to let go 100% of everything. And payroll is sometimes the hardest thing to let go of, because you don't want people to know exactly what the other employees are making,
yeah,
the company. And also, you get kind of nervous that someone's going to pay somebody on accident or pay them too much. when it has to do with money, you get very nervous. I mean, that's the most important thing. But I was able to let go. I hired actually.
How? How did you do that?
Well, I was very nervous, but I have a woman who's been working at our company for 7 years. Mm. She's extremely trustworthy. And so I decided to give her the responsibility of being in charge of payroll. And she's perfectly trustworthy. She's been doing it for over a year now, and that has taken a lot of time out of my day, because I don't have to write the checks. I don't have to do the wires. I don't have to do all those things that were extremely cumbersome.
Yeah. And so just so the listener, now we're talking about the presence, just so the listener can understand how your business works. So what are the different parts of your business and the specific systems that you have in each part? So to make this question clearer, imagine like your business like a conveyor belt. On one hand, on one end of the conveyor belt is somebody who, you know, has some translation project, and on the other end is that person being transformed into a customer raving about you guys. But behind the scenes, you know, there's people and processes in your business that are making things happen to enable that transformation. So what goes behind the scenes?
Well, it's we have a different process for different kinds of services. But for one, the main service we offer is certified translations. And what happens is, of course, from the beginning, we have our marketing department marketing our company out there. And then we have a client that contacts us with a translation via email or by phone. What we do after that is we send them a quote for their translation. And the next step is they approve of the translation. Once they approve the translation, the invoice is automatically processed online, and then we assign the translation to a translator. And let's say it's a French translation. So we assign a French translation to the French translator, and then after the translator is finished, the next step would be we assign the translation to be proofread to the proofreader. And after the translation is done and proofread, we send the document to our mailing department, which is in San Jose, California, and our mailing department stamps the document. If it's a certified translation, we have to get the document legalized and notarized. Yeah. So then we notarize the document and seal the document in an envelope and mail it via 1 or 2 day mail, whatever the client requested. And so, yeah, that's the whole process for a certified translation. And we had to document those processes. And I actually even made a how-to video on how we do this so that all the people in the mailing department and every department know each step of the process.
And that's awesome. And thanks for sharing that. So what systems do you have in place that now enable your employees to know exactly what they need to do? I think in the interview you say something about systems of checks and balances.
Yes, we have a very clear and intricate system of checks and balances. We have online forms where each day the employee has to fill out all of the quotes they did to clients, all the phone calls that they answered, and all the phone calls they returned, and all this information is processed in an online CRM, and then I can go in and I can check how many quotes were done, how many clients were followed up, how many quotes were approved. And I can even divide it up by each employee. So I can see, like, for example, Jane or Maria or whatever employee we have, how many quotes they did for that day. And I can look at the analytics for the month and how many they did for the month and if they're increasing or decreasing. I can check all that information with our online CRM that we created. And this helps us to train our employees and actually determines a lot of times whether or not they get raises at the end of at the end of each quarter and different things like that. And so using technology to automate these things has really allowed us to keep track of our employees, knowing what they need to do and making sure that they're doing it.
Did you mention the thing about the clocking in as well?
No, I didn't mention that. But yes, we have an employee online clock in and clock out. They clock in, and we can check online when they're clocked in, because we have employees all throughout the world. We have employees in the United States, and Asia, South America. We have people all throughout the world, and so they check in online, and the human resource manager makes sure that they clocked in on time. And we also have online checklists to make sure that they went through the procedure for each quote, that they called the client back, that they sent the email, that they provided a contract for the client, and they also enter all the questions that the client had. So we have online checklists and online forms that the clients use to check in and check out, or clock in and clock out.
Wow. And so how do you track and verify the results being delivered by your employees?
I verify these results with our CRM, with our client relationship management system, as well as the online system that we created to track our employees. So basically, I can look, let's say at the end of the month, I want to see who's been doing the most calls or the most quotes. So I look in there and it actually can be set up as a graph. And I can see, let's say Maria has done the most quotes. Then I speak to Maria. I'm like, well, you've done a very good job. Or the human resource manager actually does this now. I don't even have to do it. But she says, you've done a very good job. And I think that you are up for a raise. Or I think that you have the opportunity to have more responsibility at our company. We have all these things in place to measure and analyze the performances of our employees and also give them the opportunity to grow within the company. And this has really, really reduced our internal turnover rate. A lot of people are very surprised by this, but we've only had one person quit in the past 7 years.
Wow.
And we've let a few people go for certain reasons, but we've only had one person quit. And this is, I believe, because of our way of tracking employees and our systems that we have in place and documents that we have in place to make sure that the employees are appreciated and they have the opportunity to grow. I'm a firm believer in analytics. I really believe that you can mix the human element with analytics and make a really sound decision on what to do with your employees and how to train them.
You know, since you have more free time in the business right now, I'm wondering which areas of the business you focus on now and why?
Well, like I said, I have a lot of free time if I want. And so I like to focus a lot on marketing and technology. Our company has grown to the point where our systems are so well in place and our processes are in place that we can handle 10, 20, 30 times more employees than what we have right now.
Wow.
So it's kind of frustrating whenever you don't have as many employees as you can handle. So, I meant to say as many clients as you can handle or as much work as you can handle, because we can handle a lot more work. Mm-hmm. So I'm really focusing on the marketing of our company right now.
Yeah, because that's going to drive more people in.
Yeah, drive more people in. And also, I like to focus a lot on technology. Personally, I'm taking classes on development right now, learning how to develop and manage databases and servers so that I can understand better how to manage all of our developers. And for example, we're working on another application, mm-hmm. and this application is already finished. You can download it on iTunes or Android, and it's an application where you can basically request an interpreter from anywhere in the world, and we'll provide you an interpreter anywhere in the world within an hour. Sometimes it takes longer if it's a rare language, or if you need an interpreter over the phone, we can provide you an interpreter within 2 to 3 minutes. So these are some of the things that I've been focusing on now that all of our systems are in place. And if these things weren't in place, if I didn't have all this automation done in the beginning, I wouldn't be able to focus on growing our company, on technology, and on marketing. So, yeah, I would say about 50% of my work is on marketing, and the other 50% is on managing technology and growing the technology of our company.
That's awesome. And that just shows the testament of, you know, systemization, because you wouldn't be able to focus on this if you didn't have a business that is systematized, because you'd literally be stuck working inside of it.
Exactly. You know? That's why systematization is so important.
Yeah. And so now, what would you say is the next stage of growth for the business? And what do you plan to achieve next and why?
The next stage of growth is to be a household name for interpreting. Kind of like Uber has become a household name for someone who wants a taxi, mm-hmm. In the United States. We want to be the household name for someone who needs an interpreter. And so we need to work on some things like retaining our clients, growing our economies of scale. Right now, we're creating an interface where all the clients can log in online, request their translations, and get updates on their translations. Like I said, we've got a lot of that finished right now. And also, a couple other things are we're improving the quality of our service. I don't ever like to just rest on my laurels and say everything is perfect. We like to increase the skills of all of our employees and the abilities they have and our customer service. And really, really focus on branding our company, making a brand that's all encompassing, that fosters repeat business. Just make our company, Day Translations, a name that people go to when they need translations or interpreters and stuff like that. So the next step is to basically take our company from, you know, a company that's making $5 to $8 million a year to trying to get closer towards that $100 million a year mark.
And if you were to try and, you know, quickly summarize, you know, the steps to take so that the listeners can kind of transform the business just like you have, so that it runs without them, you know, what would that quick summary be?
Well, in order to have your business run successfully without you, you have to have a balance. And I try to make it really simple. It's employees and clients. Mm. And it's the yin and yang of your company. You have to keep those two things in balance. So basically, you have to make sure your employees are happy and your clients are happy. And if you can treat both of those equally, then your business can run successfully without you. And in order to do this, you have to understand what your goals are for your employees and what are your goals for your clients. Mm-hmm. And you have to document all these processes. And these processes could be tedious. It could take weeks or months to write these things. Personally, I feel like I've written a couple novels with all the documents that I've written, but it was never a chore because I was so passionate about it. Or you can hire someone to help you write these manuals, but you have to write extensive manuals and PowerPoint presentations and different quizzes and everything that you have to get everything in place to make sure that the client side and the employee side are taken care of.
Awesome. And what would you say is the very next step that the listener would have to take in order to get started today with transforming their business so it runs without their constant involvement?
Well, one thing that is extremely important would be to hire managerial-oriented people. You can't just try to micromanage the company on your own, or it's not going to grow past your personal capabilities. You have to hire people who are smarter than you in several aspects. You might be real good at organizing a company, but someone else might be really good at marketing, and another person really might be good at human resources. So you have to identify this talent and harness the talent of each one of your employees and exploit it to the point where they are fulfilling their true potential and they feel like they are satisfied with what they're doing. And they feel like they can actually come up with ideas to help your company grow. So you're not the only one. You're not the only one. For example, Google hired someone internally to develop Android for their company. And all of that was done internally by the company. And I don't believe that the owners of Google were even too much involved in the development of Android. And Android has become the number one operating system for telephones now. And this was done by an internal employee at Google. So if you can hire the right people and give them the opportunity to grow, they can create amazing things within your company.
Wow. And so just so that as we're going on, rounding out the question, I'm wondering, is there a question you're wishing I asked you during the interview, whether it's systems related or not, but whatever kind of that you think will help to really round out the interview, go ahead and pose that question and give the answer.
Well, the question might be why I started the company in the first place.
And, go ahead.
The reason I started the company was because I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I was interpreting for law firms. I interpreted at hospitals, and I was actually fired from my job as an
Wow.
interpreter and a legal assistant, and I was on unemployment for several months. After the first month, I realized I want to start my own business, and I think unemployment was giving me about $330 a month, so I could barely survive off that. But I used that time to learn how to develop websites, how to market my business. I went to the Small Business Development Center, and I started my own business. And now it's something that I'm really passionate about. And it was one of the best decisions that I've ever made.
Wow! And what would you say is the best way for the listeners to connect with you and thank you for doing the interview?
Well, I try to make myself really available for interviews, available for advice, I like to give people business advice. People can contact me on my website, seanhopwood.com, or on our business website, daytranslations.com, or they can follow me on Twitter at Sean P. Hopwood. And I usually reply within 30 minutes to anything. I'm pretty responsive.
That's awesome. And so now I'm speaking to you, the listener. If you've enjoyed this interview all the way to this point, obviously if you listen all the way to this point, you've probably enjoyed it. So what I want you to do is leave us your feedback on iTunes. And to do that, you go to sweetprocess.com/iTunes. Hopefully you leave a positive review. And if you are using an Android, you might want to use the Stitcher app. And to do that, go to sweetprocess.com/Stitcher. If you know another entrepreneur who will benefit from listening to this interview, please feel free to share this interview with them. And finally, if you are at that point in your business where you are tired of being the bottleneck and you want to get everything out of your head so your employees know what you know, then sign up for a free 14-day trial of Sweet Process. Hey, Sean, thanks for doing the interview.
Thank you very much.
And we're done.
All right.
Before you go, we want to leave you with a free gift. Get your free systemization checklist. Avoid wasting valuable time documenting procedures for the wrong tasks. Get it right the first time with the systemization checklist. Download the checklist by going to sweetprocess.com/checklist.